Okay, reading from the Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 10, Chapter 16, Text 13 to 15. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya. Tadalaksha Bayadvigna Gopananda Parogama Vinaramenaga Krishnam Gatva Charitum Gatam Tardani Mitatai Tardani Mitanidhanam Matva Praptam Matavida Tatranas Tad Manakaste Duka Shoka Bayatura Abala Vridha Banita Sargenga Pashuvritaya Nirjagmur Gokuladina Krishna Darshana Lasana. Seeing the inauspicious omens, Nanda Maharaj and the other cowherd men were fearful, for they knew that Krishna had gone to herd the cows that day without his elder brother Balaram. Because they had dedicated their minds to Krishna, accepting him as their very life, they were unaware of his great power and opulence. Thus they concluded that the inauspicious omens indicated that he had met with death, and they're overwhelmed with grief, lamentation, and fear. All the inhabitants of Vrindavan, including the children, women, and elderly persons, thought of Krishna just as a cow thinks of her helpless young calf. Thus these poor, suffering people rushed out of the village intent upon finding him. Om Gyana Timurandasya Gyananjana Shalakaya Chaksurun Malatam Yena Tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha Sri Chaitanya Manobistam Tapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Sapadantikam Vanshakalpa Tarubhyascha Kripa Sindhu Bhayevacha Patitanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavebhyo Namo Nama Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Sri Advaita Gadadhar Srivasade Gaur Bhaktavrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. So greetings from Sridhar Mayapur. Nice to greet some of our Sangha listeners that are here now, Kalachanji and Shradhanjali. Tatiana is here from New York, and it's really been a blissful day. This is Odarya Dham, the land of magnanimity. On the weekend, I don't give classes, but it was just wonderful. I was invited to lunch at this very amazing lady who, long story, but in her house, she has two full-size Radha Krishna deities with full temple standard worship. I've become very close to the family, Russians, and went there, and then we went to the Gurukula, walked around, and it was just meeting people. It's rasa. A lot of wonderful relationships here with people. I've been coming so many years. And before we start, I just want to reiterate how important it is to hear regularly with faith. And I heard this explanation from a Western philosopher, but I think it's a psychologist, and I think it's very apropos, and it gave me some insights on how important it is to hear. And I'm reflecting, you know, I mean, although I have many students, not many, but there are, you know, a group that actually hear and hear regularly, and how important that is. And it had to do with this word called logos, I think, L-O-G-O-S. And somehow it was a word for the universe, I believe, that indicates that there's an order. Because there's God, there is a way in which things should be in harmony. And when things are not in harmony, they're in chaos. And chaos is suffering. So when you hear wisdom or you hear instructions, it indicates and teaches you the way things should be and the way you should be in relationship to things so you don't suffer. Just think of a child who kind of leaves the home, and maybe some of you had experience with this, either with a partner or a child or someone, who are not living according to the way they should be. Not just you dictated on it, but your opinion, but the way, you know, proper behavior is or proper understanding. And you see their life, not under knowledge, becomes chaos and causes disharmony and suffering. Even the word dialogue comes from the logos or the logic also between two people. A dialogue is supposed to come to a conclusion of order. And therefore, I see how important it is for people to study, conceptualize, and express philosophy teachings. How it is the basis of Prabhupada's movements is books, because he wants to create order. I see here, I'm thinking of one family here, and maybe I'm thinking of one family here and how nice they're doing, because they studied here and they got a lot of understanding and knowledge, practical knowledge, even how a man and woman should relate properly according to order, Shastra applied, the role of a woman. And I'm not talking about applying something archaic, I'm talking about principles practically applied. And how it brought order and peace to their family. And often I look at, when I'm in New York, I see people walking in the street and, you know, they don't have knowledge. They don't know what they're doing. They don't know where they're going, where they're coming from, and how important knowledge is and that instruction is. And to have the faith to apply it. Because the tendency is not to hear things that we don't like. But there is an order and there is a reality, and there are teachings that explain to you what that reality is and what your relationship is in all facets of life, from social order to the order of your body. So I think what we're doing here is extremely important. and more people should take avail of it. And I'm kind of happy to see how the Bhakti Center is getting more into presenting teachings and et cetera. It's kind of wonderful. Now, here in this story, I'll give what I can today at the end of the day, and I'll leave it all on the field. But that was a realization I wanted to. That's a realization I wanted to explain to you. And you know, I just want to bring you down here into Krishna's pastimes. Almost imagine it's a Google map, and it kind of focuses on Vrindavan and focuses on where Krishna is and what's happening. And you have the insight to see what's happening is that Krishna is exchanging with his energies. Rasa Vaihtaha, the ultimate reality is rasa. And what does that mean? It means that God's pleasure is his own energies. Parasya Shaktai Vividaya, he has multifarious energies. And those energies are for his pleasure, those Shaktis. And the internal Shakti, the internal potency, the bliss potency, the devotional potency, he enjoys by placing it in the hearts of his devotees who have a desire to serve him. And that energy coming back to him, which is called love, is his pleasure. So Krishna Lila is this exchange of that love, and it's a very dynamic energy that has a way of heightening in the circumstance of Lila or the drama of Krishna's pastimes, which creates all this expression of love. And that energy is like an ocean, and that ocean is heightened by waves. And the ocean of that type of love, it becomes heightened by waves of various emotions. So put yourself in that perspective that you actually have a relationship with Krishna. Put yourself in that perspective. And here it says that they were unaware of his power and opulence. Not knowing his opulence or power. Because if they knew his opulence or power, there wouldn't be the emotions that enheighten love. There would be no distress, there'd be no fear. Here it mentions, and they were overwhelmed with the emotions of grief, lamentation, and fear. But born of love and enhancing that love, and therefore enhancing the pleasure of God, enhancing the pleasure of those or the happiness of those who have those emotions. But atavada, not knowing, because if you have that sense of God's immanence, then it will check certain emotions. Just like motherly love, the flavor of that love is anugraha, or mercy requires an object of mercy. Mother's mood is, I am your maintainer. That is a particular beautiful, affectionate mood of love. I am your maintainer. But if you become aware of Krishna's opulence, then you can't have that type of love, because you'll be aware that you are not Krishna's maintainer. You'll be aware that there is no fear, there is no distress, there is no shoka, bhoya, dukkha, atura, overwhelmed by dukkha, by pain, by unhappiness, by fear. Why? Tatprana, having sight of him. Bhoya udvigna, agitated by fear. Alaksha, seeing what? These signs. And what are the signs? They see the omens. They're in their village. Already in separation from Krishna. Because Krishna went to the forest. So they're already in separation from Krishna. And they have love. And then they see various omens. And immediately they think, oh my God, what happened to Krishna? And it's not just omens. The left side of a man shakes, the right side of a woman, meteors from the sky, inauspicious, the ground shakes, and they're all happening at once. And because of that love for Krishna, oh my God, something has happened to Krishna. Something has happened to Krishna. And immediately what happens is they ask Nanda and Yasoda, did Krishna go to Balaram? With Balaram, but somehow or other for the rasa, Balaram stayed. Because if Balaram is there, Krishna must be protected. And they find out, they go to Nanda Maharaj, is Krishna out? Did he go with Balaram? He said, no, Balaram did not go. Vina, Ramena. Without Balaram, they went. And without Balaram, they became increasingly terrified. And they have this, their life is Krishna. It's not the presence of the soul. They're only living because Krishna is living, and it says tat prana. He was their life force, their soul, and tat manasa. He was their consciousness. So this is saying that there is a realm of love, and it's the highest love. And whatever we think of affection and attachment to something, this is multiplied unlimited times. So it says, tat manaska, their minds were absorbed in them, their soul and their consciousness. And tat pranas, their life force. It's Krishna at every moment of their lives, their thoughts, their aspirations and despair related from Krishna. And their mind would never wander for a second. So they're fixed in consciousness of him. So when they hear this, they're absolutely terrified. And And Turah, they became Turah, overwhelmed. And it means they began to walk towards the forest, and they're wailing, and they're screaming, and they're hitting their chest. And animals become fearful, they immediately run. Well, human beings will analyze what is happening, and they'll meet together, and they'll discuss, and they'll make a plan. But they're so terrified, they went without Balaram, and they're so dedicated to Krishna, and all these bad omens are happening, that they're so overwhelmed that Atura, immediately they begin to run and scream, and they're bait, where is Krishna? So their intelligence, Pashu Vita, became like animals. They lost their ability to think and reason. They were simply moving in a particular direction, but they thought would take them closer to Krishna, just as animals aimlessly wander. Normally when danger arises, at least a brief discussion amongst elders and the wise, their plan of action, but they simply left their homes and they go to the forest. So the thought of his death is plunging them into this ocean of fear, grief, lamentation. Okay, we'll do the next verse. I think we'll move. Tamstata kataran viksha bhagavan madhavo bala prahasya kinchinovacha prabhavo gyanujasyasa. The Supreme Lord Balaram, the master of transcendental knowledge, smiled and said nothing when he saw the residents of Vrindavan in such distress, because he understood the extraordinary power of his younger brother. So, actually, Balaram's comforting them, because when they see that he's not disturbed, then they think maybe perhaps Krishna is safe because his older brother reacts like this. And Balaram was looking at each and every Vrajvasi and laughing out loud, creating confusion, because he has the exact opposite emotion to them. Okay, we'll read on. Ten Visham Anadayatam Krishnam Suchateyapadai Bhagava Lakshana Jagmu Patavya Jamunatatam. The residents hurried towards the bank of the Jamuna in search of their dearmost Krishna, following the path marked by his footprints, which bore the unique signs of the personality of Godhead. The footprints of Krishna, the master of the entire cowherd community, were marked with the lotus flower, barley corn, elephant, and thunderbolt and flag. My dear King Brikshit, seeing his footprints on the path among the cow's hoofprints, the resident Vrindavan rushed along in great haste. So, this is rasa. Rasa is love at its height. There's rati and there's rasa. Rati means bhava. There's love. Means love. But rasa is when it's intensified to the highest degree. And God is a connoisseur of love. So it's a good quality to be a connoisseur. A connoisseur means they have high tastes. And therefore, things around them are the most fine. So God also is a connoisseur, but what is he a connoisseur of? God is a connoisseur of love. He likes fine love. Love at its height. So there's love. There's bhava, but when madhurya rati, the bhava of conjugal love becomes madhurya rasa. And there's vatsalya rati, the love of parenthood becomes vatsalya rasa. It means heightened. And how is it heightened? It's heightened by various emotional components. So there's that love, but the love requires an impetus. And it requires actions, and it requires a plethora of emotions and intense spontaneous reactions, bodily reactions. And this whole thing combines together to bring that rati to rasa, and Krishna is rasika. Rasika means a connoisseur. This is the love that he actually enjoys, because if God is the supreme enjoyer, he enjoys the best love. And the best love is the love that's at its height, the love that's appropriate for the relationship one is in, and love that has reached its height. They're in Vrindavan, and then they see that there's these omens, and then they become worried for Krishna, and they ask Balaram, and they ask if he go with Balaram, and then they find that he's without Balaram, they become terrified, and then spontaneously they immediately disperse without any intelligent consideration. I mean, they immediately disperse. Running into the forest, wailing, stumbling, banging into trees, and finally getting enough sense to see where is Krishna? Let's find his footprints. Which is interesting because, as we remember in the Leela, because Krishna wanted the cowherd boys to be so thirsty that despite the poison of the water, they would run there together without consideration. So Krishna took that on that day in the hot sun, the cowherd boys wandering all over Vrindavan. So his footprints were just, so they were following their footprints. And like great yogis who make a distinction between things, they're trying to distinguish the cow's footprint from Krishna's footprint. But Krishna's footprint has all these beautiful markers, and they make fresh imprints in the sand. And because everyone in Vrindavan honors Krishna, they're very hesitant to erase those footprints. So somehow or other, they're leading to Krishna. So seeing those footprints, it inspires their love to such a degree. So Krishna's in the coils, but he's hearing the hearts of the devotees at the height of their love. So they're seeing the footprints and the gopis, the parents are saying, my son, my son, my son, expression of their love, Krishna, 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 my son, my son, my son. And the friends are saying, my friend, my friend, my friend, the closest friend, the best friend. And the gopis are saying, my lover, my lover, my lover. And they're frantically searching these footprints and seeing Krishna's footprint. It's just an, it's an udibit, it's an incredible impetus for love. And what is it? Krishna's enjoying friendship. Krishna's enjoying conjugal love. The bhav, not just the act, the bhav. The act is just an expression of the bhav. And he's enjoying the parental love and the friends of his servants and the animals are wailing. But what is actually happening if you have an insight into the pastimes beyond the external, beyond the projection of those of your own experience onto those forms? What is happening? Krishna is enjoying love, which is a reasonable conception of the ultimate reality. Krishna must be the enjoyer, and the enjoyer is love. And whatever enjoyment we have in love here, and the emotions we have, is some kind of a reflection of that, the ultimate reality. So they're rushing in such haste out of Vrindavan, looking at the footprints. As they hurried to the bank of the Jamuna, they saw from a distance that Krishna was in the lake, motionless, within the coils of the serpent. They further saw that the cowherd boys had fallen unconscious, and the animals were standing on all sides, crying out for Krishna. Seeing all this, the residents of Vrindavan were overwhelmed with great anguish and confusion. So think of a loved one in this circumstance. How would you feel, even though our love is not pure, it's mixed with bodily conception, how would you feel? I remember once I was telling this story right after 9/11, and I was doing a home program in the house of Mahesh Pandit, the father of Namras. So I was trying to explain how when there is deep relationship, then one, the thought of something happening to your child, not the actual act itself, is a very heavy emotional experience. And I told Mahesh, he has his daughter, very wonderful daughter, married to Venkata Bhatt, very saintly young girl, and he loves his daughter. And I said, just like Mahesh, imagine that your daughter was in the World Trade Towers that day. His heart almost dropped on the spot. So how does Mother Yasoda feel when seeing the omens rushing out of Vrindavan? And what an intense meditation on Krishna, Krishna, looking at the footprints and then going there and seeing Krishna actually in the coils of the serpent, hanging limp as the serpent's coils are just rocking back and forth. Just Krishna's head is visible. And then, anxious to find out what is happening, wanting to ask someone, but seeing that the cowherd boys are unconscious because they just saw Krishna in that coil and they fainted. And then the animals are on all sides. Both the cows and the birds are on all sides of the lake, wailing away. The cows are crying. And Mother Yasoda, Parama Kashmalam, the greatest bewilderment, Sankrandata Pashu, and the animals crying out, and Gopan, Chamudha Dishanam, unconscious, the cowherd boys are unconscious. So, Paramakasmanam Artha, they experience incredible distress. Gopyo narakta manaso bhagavatyanante tatso rida smitavaloka girasmarantya graste hina pratyame brishaduka tapta shunyam priya vyatiritam tadashu trilokam. When the young gopis whose minds were constantly attached to Krishna, the unlimited Supreme Lord, saw that he was now within the grips of the serpent, they remembered his loving friendship, his smiling glances, and his talks with them, burning with great sorrow. They saw the entire universe as void. So, the gopis, anurakta manasa, minds attached to Krishna, and they see the universe as void. A very interesting concept. Why is the universe void? It loses value. It seems like a description of depression, where you can't find any value. Because the nature of a devotee is he sees everything in relationship to Krishna. And therefore he sees actually what's there and what's maya illusion. Maya illusion means not this, means not to see something in relationship to God. And the impetus not to see something in relationship to God is our own desire for joy and control, which is ruined if we see reality. If we see reality, our ego is crushed, our false ego is crushed. And this egotistical enjoyment is really the goal of material life. The sensual enjoyment is only to support that, actually. And you see, when sports teams win, they put up their fingers, we're number one. You win the Olympics. There's a rush. It's mental, but it's a material pleasure is mental too, because it can't happen. It's not the soul. So reality crushes that. Because reality means that you see God. And it becomes so overwhelmingly clear that we are not the enjoyers and controllers. But a devotee who has love is happy with that conception of God as the enjoyer and controller, and therefore sees everything in relationship to God. And Prabhupada said, someone in that consciousness is thrilled every moment. That's what the Priyojana is. That's what the ultimate goal. The ultimate goal is when you see reality and you experience reality. And our experience of reality is love, because we have a relationship with reality. We have a relationship with God, and that's our eternal relationship. So when by the practice of Krishna consciousness, you actually see reality, you love reality. That's the prayojana. It's not just seeing it. Seeing it is loving it, because you have a relationship with reality. Therefore, Prabhupada said that someone who is Krishna conscious can be thrilled at every moment. Because everything becomes an impetus for service and brings the love out of his heart. I remember when I was in India for 20 years, and then I got a quit India notice and I had to leave, and I wound up in New York, and I was in terrible separation from Vrindavan. I was staying in the Brooklyn Temple and then going to preach in Manhattan at 26 2nd Avenue. I was going over the Brooklyn Bridge or the Manhattan Bridge or the Williamsburg Bridge, I forgot which one it is, and I saw the skyline, and I had a drop of joy, because in the consciousness of preaching, I was seeing everything as Krishna's. That's what karma yoga is. We tend to see things separate from God for our enjoyment. Karma yoga means, even you have that consciousness, give something of the fruits of your activity to Krishna, and then you'll see it as Krishna's, and it will free you from Maya. So a Krishna conscious person intensely sees everything as Krishna. When we go into Prabhupada's room, there was an intense conception that everything in that room is for Krishna's, and therefore should be enjoyed and employed for the service of Prabhupada, who purely had a desire to serve Krishna. I wouldn't come into Prabhupada's room and think I can move around the furniture or use anything in that room for my own enjoyment. The conception was so intense. But here's the conception. They think Krishna is dead. And therefore, everything in the world loses value. It's just like someone who lived for their daughter, and unfortunately their daughter died. Then nothing in the world has value for them. And we see that. I saw that with grandparents. Very often happened. I saw that happen twice, that the grandfather died, the grandmother died soon. One time it died on the same day. Because they had their relationship in relation, they had their life was in relationship to their spouse. And then when the spouse died, they had no life. So here, this is on a transcendental platform, because it is all inspired by love. So it's beyond that duality. It's bringing the rati to rasa. But this is this unlimited vision. This is trying to tell you that there is a reality of love, where you swim in that emotion of love that brings it to the height of love for the pleasure of Krishna, which is the ultimate feeling of love. So the gopis, sunyam, empty. And when they see graste ohina priyatamar, their most dear, being seized by the serpent, they see the entire universe as sunyam, zero. And brisha, extremely dukkha, pain, tapta, tormented. Burning with great sorrow. And then remembering his friendship, his smiling glances, his talks with them. And what is Krishna doing? He's enjoying rasa. He's enjoying love at its height. And ultimately, what are the devotees doing? They're also enjoying love at its height. Recently, I went to a funeral. And they're burning the body of one young lady who was a nice devotee, and her parents were there. She somehow died tragically in Vrindavan. And I saw that, you know, so many of the women were just crying. And it helped me understand how pain can rise above duality. Because as there was this sadness, but there was also joy because they realized, at least intellectually, they realized that their child had gone back to Godhead, dying in Vrindavan, or there was something very extraordinary destination. But there was such a unity above the ego, because everyone was experiencing the same emotion of sadness and tragedy. But at the same sense, it was cathartic. It lifted one above that individual egotistical platform, which is just consciously vibrating with selfish desires and selfish concerns. And we live on that platform always. It's so it's not only boring, it's torturous, it's distressful. Always calculating, always worried on my individual, how the world is moving, what I have lost, what I need to gain, what will happen next, how will this, and I want to be the enjoyer and the insults, and then this, I'm not the enjoyer, I'm not. Constantly. And then being lifted above that and sharing an experience of love for someone, even if it's distressful, I saw it had a certain cathartic quality. There was a quality there of consciousness that even in the sorrow, in a strange way, was better than anything we'd normally experience. And that was just on the mundane platform. So what to speak on this spiritual platform? Anyway, it's getting late. I'll have to go now, but are there any questions? Okay, anybody want to say hello?
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can.
Oh, yeah. Okay. Yeah, I just I don't remember what you said when you were in separation from Vrindavan, and I think you were going over the Brooklyn Bridge, whatever. And yeah, and what happened after that?
What happened when?
When you were in separation from Vrindavan. And then you went, you said you were going over the Brooklyn Bridge, and then what was the catalyst for your bliss?
I was preaching, and therefore I was seeing that everything should be used in Krishna's service. That the mood of preaching. So even though I was entering into the world, I wasn't entering into Manhattan, seeing the things as separate from Krishna for my own enjoyment. But I was seeing everything should be for Krishna. The preacher wants to take over the world for Krishna. So it was kind of a little bit an epiphany, like a spiritual vision, that everything belonged to Krishna. Except I didn't really explain it so clearly. I'm not sure if I do it now, but I'll try again. I just remember going over that bridge, and I was in the mood intensely of preaching and spreading Krishna consciousness. And therefore, I saw this as belonging to Krishna. And my duty was to help engage everything in Krishna's service. So it kind of changed the vision from normally we see things separate from our enjoyment to see them as Krishna's energy and then meant to be used in his service. And then I gave the example of karma yoga, how when you are in a selfish mood, but you give something of the results to Krishna, then you start seeing things as Krishna's. And that's the spiritual vision.
Okay, thank you.
Okay, I hope that's a little clearer. But thank you for clarifying that.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Okay. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
Hare
Krishna Maharaj.
Who's that?
Chaitanya Priya.
Okay, that's Chaitanya. Thank you. Anybody else like to say hello?
Hare Krishna.
Who is it?
Jai Sri Radhe and Gopakishwara.
Okay, Jai Sri Radhe, Gopakishwara. Tatiana and Marsha, they seem to be in a very high state of ecstasy very, very quickly. But you'll probably hear about it. Really, they seem to have entered so quickly. They're in Mayapur. Okay, anybody else like to say hello?
Stephanie and Vikram and Diki.
Hare Krishna Maharaj.
I got Stephanie and Vikram. Who said hello after that?
Tota Gopinath Maharaj. Hare Krishna.
Hi, Bo. Tota, we'll see you. Who else?
Hare Krishna Maharaj. It's Janine.
Janine, nice to hear from you. Good. Our group here is increasing. It's great. Anybody else?
Hare Krishna Gumaraj. This is Kishori Radha.
And Priya.
Kishori Radha and Priya. Okay. I went to the Gurukul today. Here, amazing. And, you know, the parents see their children on Sundays for 45 minutes. So I somehow came in when they were all sitting with their kids. And that Narada Muni, they have a son in the school, too. Really mm-hmm. nice boy. Okay, who else is there? Say hello. And then we'll end. Okay.
Hare Bomara, Shastra Das with Inanagri here.
Okay, great. We're going to see you guys soon. Yeah. All right. Hi, Bo. Anybody else say hello?
This is Kaylee Kadamba.
Who is? Oh, Kaylee Kadamba. Thank you so much. I'm going to send you soon my schedule of classes when I'm in New York. They'll start at the end of March and then some in April. Good. Anybody okay. else say hello? Okay, great. Anybody else say hello?
Hare Krishna Guru Maharaj, this is
Radhe. Radhe, good. Okay, one more. Okay, we'll end for now. Hare Krishna, Vanchakopa, Dhruva, Sukhana, Sadhguru.